Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. New York City Mayor Eric Adams saying minutes ago the suspected gunman in the Midtown Manhattan office building shooting had a note on him that alluded that he felt he had CTE, a known brain injury that is possible for those who participate in contact sports. He played high school football and apparently blamed the NFL for it. The NFL is headquartered in that building. It's believed the gunman was looking for the NFL's offices but went to the wrong bank of elevators and ended up inside a different office suite. Four people were killed in the shooting, one wounded, and the gunman took his own life afterwards. Dangerous weather in store for many of us again today.
More than 165 million Americans face life-threatening heat with temperatures that feel hotter than 100 degrees. New York City activating its heat emergency plan, providing access to cooling centers, and conducting outreach to at-risk communities.
ABC's Victor Okendo. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says over 60,000 Palestinians have now been killed in the war. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Revenue is reminding electric vehicle charging station owners across the state to pay their charging tax by Thursday. The charging tax was implemented on January 1st and requires electric vehicle charging station owners to pay an excise tax of 3 cents per kilowatt hour. Department of Revenue officials are also reminding charging station owners that the tax is due even if the station is not available for public use, and businesses, government agencies, and nonprofit organizations are not exempt from the tax. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development has reported a decrease in unemployment rates across the state for the month of June. The new data released last week found that the majority of cities in the state saw a decrease in unemployment rates. Among the 35 largest cities, 24 of them saw the unemployment rate drop, 5 cities saw no change, and 6 cities saw an increase in unemployment. Over the last year, 22 of those cities have seen a drop in unemployment, with 6 remaining at a steady level and 7 seeing an increase in unemployment. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced it is no longer working to trap the bear that attacked a 69-year-old Comstock woman earlier this month. According to a press release, DNR officials have seen no sign of the bear after 2 weeks of surveillance. A number of traps set in the area caught 6 bears in total, but none of those bears were the one responsible for the unusual Barron County attack. The Comstock woman was taken to the hospital following the attack, and DNR officials say she is now in stable condition and recovering well. The Bayfield County Planning and Zoning Committee voted to approve the permit for a proposed cell phone tower in the town of Russell despite receiving significant pushback from the local community last week. The tower was proposed by Verizon Wireless to address a gap in cell coverage along Highway 13 near Red Cliff. Area residents raised concerns about the effects the tower could have on property values, aesthetics, and tourism, but the attorney leading the project argued that those concerns were not legal grounds to not approve the application. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers back in first place.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Brewers with an 8-4 win over the Cubs in Milwaukee. That put the Brewers back in first place, a game ahead of Chicago. Cubs lefty Matthew Boyd had been the hottest pitcher in the league, but gave up 5 earned runs off of 6 hits in 5 innings pitched. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I don't think Boyd had his best stuff. We took our walks. You don't see him walking that many guys in a game ever. So I love that part of it. What a day for Contreras and Yelich to come up big.
NFL Packers training camp continues today in Green Bay. In Madison, the Wisconsin Badgers packing up the team bus, headed to UW-Platteville to begin training camp. Defensive coordinator Mike Tressel on what he told his players.
Talk about our defensive objectives. Our guys have looked at every single day since spring ball. These are the numbers that put you in the top 10 defense in the nation in each of those areas.
That's Badgers defensive coach Mike Tressel with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for today, still warm and muggy with highs in the mid-80s and a slight storm chance. Maybe a storm tonight, mostly cloudy, lows mid-60s. Still some rain possible into tomorrow, high upper 70s. It's 63 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane, Matt, and Aaron, Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he is the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Pat joining us tomorrow after 9:35 to break down all Wisconsin news. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Matt and Aaron on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
One happy camper this morning at 8:06 on this Tuesday morning, July 29th, might have something to do with the Brewers beating up on the Cubs. Did not look like it during the first inning last night. Jacob Mizorowski had a terrible start. Eight batters, 40 pitches, three runs with hardly anything getting out of the infield. And then he settled down, and the Brewers' bats came to life. Brewers win 8-4. Game two is tonight. Game three is tomorrow afternoon. But for now, your first place Milwaukee Brewers are atop alone the Central Division. And again, Game 2 tonight, coverage begins at 6:05 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here. Chad Holmes will be joining us in a sec from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. One thing I noticed, Brittany, looking at the TV coverage of the game last night and from my being at American Family Field on Friday, when it was another hot and steamy day, is, you know, the roof is only partially open, which is to kind of not have the sun completely baked down. But if you closed it all the way, then you'd be in a roasting pan. And there's just, you know, this time of year, there's no way to avoid the heat. Just go get some ice cream or a cold frosty beverage or whatever, because we're in the dog days of summer. At least
we sure are.
At least for one more day.
Well, first of all, I'm so excited that they beat the Chicago Cubs. I'm from Chicago. I hate them with a passion. So I'm just so excited to hear that news. And then also maybe some ice. Cup of ice. I was doing that at Oshkosh, putting ice on the back of my neck, putting it, you know, on my arm, my leg, wherever, just to help cool me down. Mm-hmm. So while you're in line for a brew, grab a cup of ice too.
Hey, there you go. All right. Yeah. Look at that. You get a great forecast and tips, spectator tips from Brittany, who's going to tell us where the forecast is today as the rain moves out of the southeastern part of the state right now.
Sure does. Kick that on out of here. Let the sun shine, more and more sunshine throughout the day today. Comfortable temperatures further up north, not so comfortable further down south. We are still battling dew points, muggy conditions, high heat here today. Temperatures rising to about the low to mid 80s far north to low to mid 90s far south. Plus you slap the humidity on top of that. It's going to be feeling like the mid to upper 90s for a lot of us in the southern part of the state today. So sunshine becoming abundant. A few spotty sprinkles or small brief showers are possible this afternoon. I think they're going to stay more towards the Green Bay area, but pretty much by the lake is your best chances for those to pop up later on this afternoon, early evening. No big deal with that. But tomorrow, we've got another low-pressure system moving through. It is going to bring some more widespread, steadier rainfall, probably overnight far west, early tomorrow morning for the southern parts of the state. And that'll continue for the southern half tomorrow throughout the day. Overcast. All of us, but much, much more cooler, refreshing, highs in the mid to upper 70s tomorrow, and that stays the case for the rest of the week as a high pressure starts to build in. It kicks the clouds on out of here, and we've got nothing but a beautiful summer day on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and even into Sunday. It's going to be amazing.
The top is coming off the Jeep Wrangler, yes. And it is going to be just a gorgeous couple of days of running those errands. Brittany, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. All right.
Have a good day.
You have a great day as well. Let's check in with Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO. See what he's following up in that area, because you're still in your, as we learned from Jimmy Cuska yesterday, this is, I don't think this is an official title, but this is like the dead week in high school sports where there's not practices and things like that. So the kids get a break. The coaches get a break. There's a lot of vacations going on. It would seem to me we should be sending you away to like another poker tournament someplace, but you got that out of your system, right?
Yeah, no, it is the down week. It's actually a perfect week here in the Wausau area because everybody's heading off to the Wisconsin Valley Fair starting today. So it's like fair week, and then next week football practice begins, and you can start to make the real countdown to the kickoff, which is not too far away.
No, not a bit. And again, with the heat finally moving on, Joe and Superior on the text line listening on WBZH and Hayward says comfortably cooler here by Lake Superior this morning. And that is very welcome because, again, this time of year, they don't have the 2-a-day football practices anymore, right?
I've heard some that have a morning practice and then an evening practice. It's not split it up and maybe have a couple of shorter get-togethers. Mm-hmm. It depends on the schools.
Okay. All right. Tell us a little bit about what you've had for some of the local segments up there for, you know, guests or topics.
Oh, I mean, it's been really interesting. One of the exciting things that we have coming up here is that we just hired a new news person. And that's going to really, I think, help in terms of the coverage that we have here in Wausau. We had actually, it was really nice. About a week and a half ago, our network news director, Shali Pittman, came up and we did some interviews and we found a wonderful young woman who has done some work down in Illinois at the state capitol there and really knows her way around with government officials. And obviously, as you well know, that here in Wausau, you'll never run out of interesting stories when it comes to following area government. So she'll be starting up in August, a little bit later in August. So that is something we've been talking about that we're really going to try to we're using a poker term, double down in terms of our local coverage here in the Wausau area. So very, very excited about that.
Well, essentially it's a matter of, you know, how should we say this? Keeping them honest, you know, with the reduction in local news coverage around the country, you know, one of the offshoots of that, and I'm not casting aspersions in Wausau specifically, but with fewer local reporters covering these city council meetings, school board meetings, county board meetings, things like that, there's been a little bit more, I guess, shall we say, mischief, you know, across the country as people realize there aren't as many watchdogs out there as there used to be. And it's why even as you see a reduction in newspapers around the area, you see, thankfully, sites like, you know, Civic Media springing up North News, the Wausau Pilot and Review as an independent, you know, non-corporate owned source of covering these places. Because, again, as much as we'd love for politics, you know, local politics to just be our friends and neighbors and everything's on the up and up, you and I have seen enough from local government over the years to know that there still better be some watchdogs in the room when these things are going on.
Yes, absolutely. And frankly, the lines are getting harder to see.
Yes.
I'm going to give an example. I may regret it in a moment where we're going, but yesterday word came down that the morning host of the conservative talker here in Wausau, WSAU, is leaving. Meg Ellefson, who's been the voice of conservative politics in this area for a number of years, apparently leaving for some non-political entity. I have no idea what that means.
Okay.
But it's not going to change what is happening over there, because literally before the ink was dry on that news release, Chris Conley, a gentleman I've talked about a little bit here on this radio station over the times, he has decided that it reminds me a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you heard this, that the Colorado Rockies, who are in route to becoming the worst Major League Baseball team in the history of baseball, had an opening for team president. And after a deep dive into all the people that could come in and perhaps turn around what the Rockies are, they said, well, hey, the son of the owner's here, so we're going to make him the new leader. And and I thought of that when I saw this morning that Chris decided that he's going to move into the Meg Ellefson seat and continue to bring the truth to Central Wisconsin that that I'm so against, according to them.
Well, yeah, right.
I'm off to a wonderful start this morning, I must say.
Look, I don't have all the particulars in front of me, but I know that Meg Ellefson, from what I've seen online, has been unhappy with some of the directions that Republicans are taking either at the state and or the county levels in other parts of Wisconsin. We've talked about the controversy in Northeast Wisconsin about, you know, people who have, you know, perhaps checkered legal pasts who are in, you know, positions who have said things that would normally not give you a leadership position in a local political party. And yet when anybody, you know, conservative or Republican dares to criticize, they are suddenly, I mean, the avalanche of trolls just rains down upon them. And don't get me wrong, I'm not shedding a tear necessarily when conservatives who have been flamethrowers themselves, you know, have the weapon returned on them. But that doesn't necessarily make it right, especially when the thing that they're reacting to is a genuine grievance. But the MAGA folks, they don't want to hear anything of it. They're willing to, you know, what do they always refer to it as? The leopards eating their faces party. I didn't realize a leopard would eat my face. Well, that's what leopards do.
Well, I mean, I'm going to push back on any idea that Meg is some sort of victim in this. I mean, I had a candidate for the state assembly, a Republican in the primary, who came on with me in the morning because Meg would not allow him to go on with her because she had her favorite candidate. I think that's wrong. Our motto here is our doors are open to anybody who is a candidate or somebody that is a newsmaker or somebody that's in government. The idea of picking and choosing who you're going to let the voice go out there, and then the man who's taken over this seat, Chris Conley, after getting criticism about this, he's a program director over there as well, basically said, well, Meg's number one, so we got a popular show, so whoever we want on the air, that's good enough for me. I mean, so we live in this world right now that, that there's so many moving parts to it. I just think that each and every day we should try to hear the most voices and the most truthful voices and try to get the best information in terms of having the true battle of ideas, which I think is one of the foundations of democracy.
Yeah, and that is exactly the role that somebody like you should be playing in the Wausau area. No different than what Todd Alba is doing, you know, on his program from 2 to 4, where he had Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez on yesterday. He talked to Josh Shulman, a Republican candidate for governor, when he was here in Chippewa Falls at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. And he's been very explicit in saying, look, I'll talk to anybody. I'll talk to any candidate here. You'll get a fair round of questioning and be able to make your case. I have definitely said that in terms of, you know, primaries, especially among Democrats, to say, look, we're not going to, especially with the governor's race, we're not going to pick and choose here. We want every candidate to come on and make their case. Now, my being a former Democratic legislator, I'm not really expecting any Republican candidates to bang down my door and get on the show, but I'd be willing to talk to them and see if we can't, work out an appearance. But
it's fun. I tell you, it's fun when a Republican sits across the way. I like that.
Well, yeah, and that's again,
you know, battle ideas. I think that is exactly what we have to do, and not just on the radio, but I think within our communities to be able to listen to the other side, and to sometimes it will reinforce what we believe, and all the times it'll give us something to think about.
And you can't have things reinforced if they're not challenged now and
exactly
then, because that, yeah, it might reinforce it. It might not. It might actually get you thinking that, hey, I never thought of something that way before. And, I might have an example in the coming day or two about that. I'm going to talk in the next segment for folks. A lot of folks are going to have a local breakaway for local news. Those who come back and chat with me, I'm going to talk about how AI has figured out a lot of things. AI has not yet figured out cribbage. Do you play?
I do not.
Okay, so you're poker. We're going to talk sometime down the road about AI and poker. We'll talk about AI and cribbage coming up next. Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. As mentioned, the aforementioned local update coming up next for many of you across the Civic Media Radio Network, and then back here with Dan Schaefer in less than 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
My perfect day has sand, salt water, and friends. But my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can take me out of the moment. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, most people saw 90% clearer skin, and many were even 100% plaque-free at 4 months. Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin. And that means everything. Nothing is everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Matt Nair on air.
Kareen Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Kareen, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I am absolutely infatuated with this next article that I'm going to share for you. I'm looking at it at the Wausau Daily Herald site, but it is originally from the Journal Sentinel. Andrew Montequin is the author. The headline is, Artificial Intelligence, AI, is making advances every day, but humans are still best at a classic pastime, cribbage. And we established just now that Chad Holmes, professional poker player, is not a cribbage player. And Parker, as the producer of this fine show, are you a cribbage player?
It has been a very long time. I have played very infrequently, but I do love cribbage.
Oh, good. Okay. So you understand the kind of the challenge, the reason people like it. There's a little bit of unpredictability, the way that it can change right in the middle of a game. I definitely have that feeling about sheep's head. So I grew up with my parents divorced when I was very young. One of the few happy memories I have of them together was the times when they would play cribbage. And Sherry and I have played, I would dare say, thousands of hands of cribbage over the past 40 years. But she grew up in a family that played sheep's head. They would play for hours and hours on Sunday afternoons. I don't understand how a computer can follow either one of these things. Because, I mean, it's... There's this randomness in the card that you're drawing or the card that somebody's laying that you can't see. It's what makes card games so fun. Why are we trying to spoil it with AI? The robots get to do enough as it is already, right?
You know, there are some games that are like solved games, like chess.
Yes.
That's a solved game. Like, everything that can happen has been computed. Mm-hmm. And that's, I guess, one way to look at it. Much like sports, I like random stuff in my games.
Yes. So the story here, again, from Andrew Motquin in the Journal Sentinel, is talking about how, yes, artificial intelligence, computers have been able to get an edge when it comes to things like chess. But when it comes to cribbage specifically, the computer is not much better than a coin flip because, as it says in the article here, there are somewhere between a quintillion and a few dozen septillion possible games of cribbage, considering every combination of cards and the actions you take. The numbers are so big, they almost become meaningless, he writes, except to tell us with near certainty that no two games are alike. Okay, that may be fine. I grant you all that. And yet, sometimes it just seems weird that Sherry will get a 12 on this hand, a 12 on the next hand, you know, 16 on the next hand, and I'll get 15-2 and a pair of four. 15-2 and a pair of four. 15-2, 15-4 and a pair of six. And I never get a double-digit hand. And anybody who plays cribbage with any regularity knows exactly what I'm talking about. And in part, it is because of the, you know, the calculated risk that's involved. You may think you're about to play one card, but then the other person, you know, plays something maybe you weren't expected, and you've got to change your mind. So they then get into, in this article, the people who make the computer games. Now we're going beyond cribbage. And Parker, I'm sure you've played against the computer in other games, whatever they are. So you're not just playing a person. Sometimes you're just on your own. There's cribbage games, cribbage apps. There's a sheep's head app, believe it or not. There's apps for all these things. And it gets into, if you're designing the app, you can set this up for, like, you know, beginner level, moderate level, you know, expert level, however they want to frame it. But if you make it too tough, you know, people might not want to play with the app if they're going to lose every time. So, I know no computer coding whatsoever. All right, I got to put that out there first.
Yeah.
So now you're going to take this coding and you're going to design a game that's fun to play, but not to the point where you can't ever win, or where you win every single time either. You got to know what you're getting into.
Yeah, there's a couple of games, video games that are like infamously hard, like Dark Souls, that is infamously hard and a pain. I would never play. I don't have the patience to play that game, Pat.
There's another one that our family started playing a lot, called either Rummy Cube or Rummy Cube. And it's a bunch of tiles with numbers on them, and the numbers have different colors in the ways that you can run sequences, you know, or straights, things like that. And you can also play that on the app. The funny thing about that is, again, when you can modify an app, you can modify the rules of the game, okay? You can, like, when we're playing in person, there's a certain person I won't name, I might be married to her, that takes a very long time to take a turn. Whereas when I'm playing on the app, you can set it for 30 seconds or 60 seconds or 90 seconds, and you got to play within that period of time. So that part I enjoy on the game.
You like the
shot
clock.
But in person, it gets to be a little, you know, frustrating from time to time. I'm really glad she's working right now and can't play a radio in the operating room. But I say that to tell you this. We have been married now for 39 years. We've been together for coming up on 42 years here. So there's a lot that we've disagreed on over time, you know, this or that, these rough spots. I don't know if anybody else has this story, but we do tell the story. Our first actual fight as a married couple, first where we really got angry with each other, was about the house rules of playing Monopoly. To the point where, I mean, we really got mad at each other about, you're not following the rule. Well, that's the rule. Well, no, that's the rule. And we've not really played Monopoly since, or when we have, it's been under protest. And I know other places have had that with Monopoly. Like, hey, if you land on the jail spot, you know, or get out of jail, do you get $500? There's nothing in the rules about putting $500 in the middle, or whatever the case may be. It's fun to look back and laugh now. But
That was a bad day.
There are marriages that have died on less. So maybe there are times when you are better off just playing the computer. Let the robot overlords be your source of recreation. Play something else with your spouse instead. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area is coming up next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Months after emerging victorious in the most expensive state Supreme Court race in American history, Justice-elect Susan Crawford is finally set to be sworn in this week. Crawford will officially take her seat on the court for a 10-year term on Friday, with a ceremony in the state capitol rotunda at 4:30 p.m. Her victory in the April election preserved a 4-3 liberal majority on the state's highest court. State Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor has announced her candidacy for the 2026 election, which could further solidify the liberal majority. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that the deadline for special hunting and trapping seasons is coming up. Residents interested in applying for bobcat and fisher permits only have until Friday to apply. Harvest permits will be awarded through a preference point lottery system. Residents interested in the first sharp-tailed grouse hunt in the state since 2018 also have until Friday to apply for a limited permit drawing. The sharp-tailed grouse hunting season this fall will run from October 18th to November 9th. The body of a man who went missing on Lake Superior following a boat crash over the weekend has been recovered. According to the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, the victim was identified as 57-year-old William Linster of Superior. The crash was reported to the U.S. Coast Guard at around 7:30 a.m. on Sunday. The cause of the crash is under investigation, and officials plan to recover the sunken boat later this week. Authorities say their investigation showed signs that the boat was involved in a significant collision before drifting to where it was found. A Shell Lake man has been sentenced to prison in relation to a high-speed chase that also resulted in drug charges. According to court documents, law enforcement authorities attempted to stop a vehicle being driven by 44-year-old Dustin Lee Klopp in Spooner for a defective headlamp in January of 2024. Klopp attempted to flee the traffic stop, reaching speeds of up to 120 miles per hour before fleeing on foot and hiding in a railroad facility. He was charged with fleeing law enforcement and delivering methamphetamine after being taken into custody. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. As far as episodic TV goes, nothing gets me more excited than a well-done cop show. There have been two spinoffs so far from the Amazon Prime cop show Bosch, a show about a stubborn, uncompromising police detective played by Titus Welliver. In a new cop show, Welliver heads up the cast in Westies. According to Collider, Welliver plays Glenn Keenan, a Vietnam vet and gritty beat cop. The story is set in the early 80s in Hell's Kitchen in New York and follows the Westies, a real-life Irish street gang, as they try to carve out a piece of the action despite being a much smaller force than the Mafia's five families of New York. Welliver calls his character deeply corrupt and very dark, but also nuanced. Joining him in the cast are J.K. Simmons, Tom Brittany, Jessica Francis Duke, and just added additions Sarah Bulger and Stanley Morgan. The Westies will drop on MGM Plus sometime in 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
We have a chance of a few scattered thunderstorms today with a high in the low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop down into the upper 50s, low 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 65.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just
being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas, Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special live show from Six Springs Farm in southwest Wisconsin as we talk to NFL and Badger Hall of Famer Joe Thomas, along with Brady Ewing as my guest co-host.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
We'd love for you to be a subscriber to our newsletters, including our weekend one that deals with politics, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Subscribe at upnorthnewswi.com. It includes a question of the week, which this week is about cryptocurrency and state regulations. Cryptocurrency, is it the future? Is it a fad? Is it a scam? Is it too soon to tell? What are your thoughts on that? Plus all the other political news. I think we know what the big story was in Wisconsin politics last week, and we know the big story going forward, but we keep tabs on all of it in our Sunday morning newsletter, as well as a little thing called the Recombobulation Area that Dan Schaefer puts together. You can sign up for that over at therecombobulationarea.news. Correct, Dan Schaefer?
I think I've got it. That's the one. That's where you can find me.
I've got it up on a screen there, and I have a space, and there should not be a space there between the and recombobulation, correct? It's all one word?
Correct. All one word.
Therecombobulationarea.news. There we go. So
what do you want to talk about today, Pat?
Yeah, you've heard this one already a few times, but I'm gonna do it again. So, Dan, who are you taking down next? do you have something about Justice Rebecca Bradley in the works by chance that you might be writing about, or no?
You know, maybe I should. Maybe I should write something. You know, I wrote something about Robin Voss last fall, and now it needs to be his last time as Assembly Speaker. That one didn't take, unfortunately. Okay. But, we'll keep at it. You know, my batting average is improving here, so we'll see.
The thing is, in both cases, you laid out very specific and credible reasons, you know, why a decision should go one way or the other. And obviously, Governor Evers made the decision that he made. He is now saying that, you know, he really didn't make up his mind until pretty close to the actual decision day. And that really just underscores something we've talked about previously here. And that is how hard it is for any politician, much less one who's won 5 statewide elections and has never lost, to say, you know, let's go out on top. Going out on top is the hardest thing to do in politics.
Absolutely. I think it is a really bold and in many ways selfless decision that the governor has made here not to seek a third term. And I think it is, you're right. It's really it's tough for people to step away, especially somebody like Evers, who is popular in the state. It's not a Biden comparison here, not only because the Evers is about a decade younger than Joe Biden, but because he is popular and Joe Biden was not. And I think, to be somebody who has won 5 statewide elections, he's undefeated in statewide elections. That's a pretty remarkable thing in a state as closely divided as Wisconsin. But I think, it's time to pass the torch. I think running for a third term is a different ask of voters than it is asking just for re-election. And I think for so many reasons, the time is right now. I think 2026 is shaping up for an advantageous year for Democrats. I think there is a strong bench of candidates. We can talk about a couple who have already announced. And I think, there is real risk involved with running for re-election in your mid-70s and being governor through your late 70s. And I think that Evers is making the right decision, as he so often has as governor. He is making the right decision and doing what's best for the state. He always talks about doing what's right for Wisconsin. And I absolutely believe that that is what he's doing here in not seeking re-election.
Yeah, and look, there isn't a fair comparison to former President Joe Biden, except in that one way, and that is all Evers has to do is stumble one time, you know, figuratively or literally, and we get to spend the next, you know, 13, 14 months with that as a topic. So it's not fair to the governor, but it does take that off the table where we now just talk about who's next. So let's talk about who's next, because the article that I'm going to put up on our website later this morning, upnorthnewswi.com, I'm putting the finishing touches on it, and I'm up to 19 names listed in this thing right now. Some of them admittedly long shots, and
yeah.
I'm looking for one more to see if I can make it around 20, so I'm going to ask you as well to give me a potentially surprising name of somebody who might be thinking about running for governor. But let's start at the very top from a Democratic standpoint, and that would be the Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez, who will be joining the show here Friday morning in our 8 a.m. hour, being first out of the gate. And again, I just said in a previous segment here, we're not going to do an endorsement here. We're going to have every candidate on from all these races, third congressional district, legislative races, everybody come on and make your case. So this is not an endorsement of Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. But that introductory video is definitely one of the best I've ever seen.
It was a really strong video. It told her personal story, talked about her background, talked about her family, talked about her career. She has had, you know, before getting into politics, her career was largely in the healthcare field. She was a nurse for a time, and it was funny and it was engaging. I think it was a really, really strong, you know, first out of the gate introductory video that was, I guess, maybe posted a little bit early before Tony Evers made that announcement, which I do find amusing because it does seem like the governor's office pushed this announcement to react to some media coverage that was beginning to ramp up in the week prior to the announcement.
Yeah, I mean, it really was, for folks that haven't seen it, it's a classic example of what's called the walk and talk video. And she's just talking, you know, directly to camera about her career and what would make her a good governor in her view. Then there's the half announcement. I always say there's one and a half Democrats in, because Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley announced that he was going to announce and is holding. Yes. And people always go, well, what are you in or are you out? Because that it does trigger something when you fill out a certain piece of paper with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. You know, now you can start fundraising, but you can't start fundraising without signing that particular piece of paper. So that's kind of the background behind the scenes. But David Crawley wouldn't have put out the statement that he did if he wasn't thinking very seriously. Yeah, I'm in here too.
Yeah, no surprise whatsoever to me. Crawley is somebody whose career I've covered pretty closely, being here in the city of Milwaukee. You know, I actually endorsed Crawley for county executive at the recombobulation area in the spring of 2020. I endorsed him over Chris Larson and then county board chair Theo Lipscomb. I think he is an absolute rising star in the party. He actually first told me in an interview at the recombobulation area in December 2023, that if Evers were not going to run again, that he would be interested in running for governor. He has experience as a state assembly representative, so he knows Madison. He's also run the largest county in the state as the Milwaukee County Executive for the past, 5 years now. And I think he's done a lot of really good, smart, under-the-radar things in Milwaukee County that has really cleaned up the county in a lot of ways and positioned it well to go into the future. My question with David Crawley and his candidacy is, how well known is he outside of the Milwaukee market? Mm-hmm. Because I think when I ask people about this list of candidates in and around Milwaukee, and I mentioned Crawley, they're like, oh, he's a great candidate. Young guy, rising star, doing great things at the county. When I mention Crawley's name outside of Milwaukee, it's a little bit more David who? Mm-hmm. So I think the name ID challenge for him, you know, outside of the Milwaukee market, you know, reaching voters in the Fox Valley and Green Bay, reaching voters in Western Wisconsin, the Northwoods, whatever it might be. But, you know, I actually did a live podcast with him a couple of years ago as well. And before he came up on stage to do the interview with me, he stopped at every single table in that coffee house to introduce himself personally to every single person. So his retail politics are like an A+ level. So I'm really interested to see, you know, as he gets out there and as he starts campaigning, how people are going to respond to him and his message.
Let's set aside Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski for a sec, just because she has indicated she's not interested in running for governor, but may declare for lieutenant governor. So let's move to State Attorney General Josh Call, who often rises to the top of lists. And I don't know how much of that is because of Josh Call or how much of it is the Jim Doyle path that we've seen a state attorney general rise to become governor previously. But regardless, you know, his name is going to continue coming up until he takes it off.
Well, you win two statewide races in Wisconsin, your name gets to be on the list for, yes, for the next opening for a statewide race. And I think, you know, I do think it's even possible that if Josh Call gets into the race, which I absolutely expect him to do, that he would start it at probably as the front runner. I don't know if it would be like an overwhelming front runner necessarily, but I do think, you know, you win two statewide races. He's been doing the job of the attorney general, so people see him, has a probably a little bit more name recognition than many of the other candidates on the list here. But again, I don't think he'd be the overwhelming favorite. I think he'd be, you know, but I do think he brings a lot to the table. And, you know, I was talking to somebody about this race not too long ago, and, you know, Tony Evers won by kind of being a pretty boring candidate. And I think he even said it in 2022 after he was reelected, saying, hey, boring wins. Maybe that's a path for Josh Call to a certain extent, too, because he's not exactly a super flashy attorney general trying to grab every headline he possibly can. He's more in the background doing the work type of guy. Mm-hmm. So I do think, you know, there will be voters who respond to that, too. And in this time of like chaos and Trump and whatever, having calm, sane, competent leadership is, I think, what people liked out of Tony Evers, and that could be a path for Josh Call as well.
A name that has come up the past couple of days here has been Missy Hughes, the CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, and she considered a run for 3rd District Congress in 2022. But in much the same way David Crawley is not well-known outside of Milwaukee, I don't know that Missy Hughes is well-known outside of certain business and political circles, and so she, too, will have to, first off, if she decides to, get in early and do a lot to build up her name ID, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, her name does keep coming up in these potential candidate lists and all of that. And because the list as of late has, or in the early going here, has leaned pretty heavily into Madison and Milwaukee area politicians, I think it's good to have somebody from outside the two major cities in the state running for this. But again, yeah, it would be a real challenge for her name ID wise. But I'm very interested to see what she does next, because the WEDC has undergone a pretty big transformation. You know, I was a business news reporter in much of the 2010s, covering a lot of what Scott Walker's administration was doing. Things I covered projects like Foxconn when I was at the Milwaukee Business Journal. We all know how that one went. And I think the WEDC, like post-COVID, had this really big focus on small business and bringing small businesses back after the pandemic. And so there is a record to run on there. But, you know, again, the name ID question would be a challenging one.
I don't want to give short shrift to the others, but we want to make mention of others' names in the mix. State Senator Kelda Royce of Madison, State Senator Chris Larson of Milwaukee, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, former State Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, even Dane County Executive Melissa Agard or State Senator Brad Paff could all be in the mix as well. The Republican field, we know about Washington County Executive Josh Shulman, businessman Bill Berrien. There's been all this talk about Congressman Tom Tiffany or State Senate President Mary Felskowski. Other names out there include former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clefish. And here's my one surprise, it was surprising to me, was that people are trying to recruit former Congressman and Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy to make a run. I got less than a minute before the break here for you to tell me, do you have any names I haven't mentioned that could theoretically be a surprise candidate on that list?
I don't have any beyond what you said there. I had one really funny reply in my Twitter mentions when I was talking about candidates. Somebody said David Gruber should run for governor. One call, that's all. For governor.
Oh, gosh, could you see that? And then, of course, Russell Nicolay. What a primary that would be. You know?
The personal injury attorney primary.
Oh, my goodness, yes. We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. And again, the recombobulationarea.news is how you can sign up for the newsletter. A local update is next for some of you. And if so, I will see you tomorrow morning at 6. For the rest of you, some final news and notes here from Lake Wissota coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.
as Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Game 2 of the 3-game series between the Brewers and Cubs at American Family Field continues this evening, 6:05. The pregame coverage begins on stations up in Hayward, Park Falls, Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, and Oshkosh as well. Dan Schaefer does not live too far from American Family Field. And boy, if this series went the way the top of the first inning went with all those Cubs fans in the stands, I would be morose right now. Thank God the top of the first inning was not indicative of how the rest of the game went.
A resilient win for the Brewers last night. A resilient performance, too, from the young ace, Jacob Mizorowski, yes, battling back from a really tough first inning to get that win. And, you know, I had forgotten that the Cubs were coming to town until yesterday afternoon when I was picking my kids up from summer camp. And all of a sudden, there's a crazy amount of traffic coming back to my house on the west side of Milwaukee, which is not too far from American Family Field. And it's just like, what is going on with all this traffic? Is there a major accident? Nope. It's just the fibs. It's just the fib traffic coming to Milwaukee to come cheer on the bad guys at American Family Field.
Yes, all kinds of new friends and neighbors from just across the border making their way up here. And they will be vocal again tonight, that's for sure, with who's on the mound? Quinn Priester is on the mound, correct? Yes.
Yeah,
Quinn Priester versus Colin Ray.
Thank you. Quinn Priester versus Colin Ray. There it is. You know, if I just hit this button a little bit quicker, I would be able to get to that. So getting back to, you know, some of the news that we've been covering here with the governor making his announcement, you could call it Democratic dominoes in that, you know, one incumbent running for another race could open up a race and then another incumbent could run for that office and it opens up another. And from the way that we run elections here, there's so many statewide offices that we elect on the same day as opposed to staggering them. We could see a staggering change in state government after November of 2026.
Yeah, I think there's a real possibility that we could have all five of our state constitutional offices have open primaries on the Democratic side, at least. You know, with Sarah Rodriguez running for governor, that opens up the role of lieutenant governor. So I think we're going to see a couple people running for that. And with Sarah Godlewski could be one of those candidates, as a couple places reported yesterday. She might be running for lieutenant governor. That would leave the Secretary of State's office open, so there could be a primary for that. A Republican is currently the state treasurer, so there could be a Democratic primary for who's going to challenge the incumbent Republican state treasurer. John Lieber, is that his name?
John Lieber, who, by the way, yeah. I did a Google search over the break, looking up John Lieber, Wisconsin governor. And there were absolutely zero matches. So on the Republican side of potential candidates for governor, the state treasurer is currently not among those talked about.
Well, he's the most successful electoral Republican not named Ron Johnson in the state right now. So
very, very true. And then as different legislators, like assembly reps running for state Senate seats, there may be other people getting in races for congressional seats. I mean, they're going to be... we already know there are going to be many open seats, many open primaries, and many ways for Democratic and independent lean left voters to go, I don't know how to pick from all these people.
Well, I think this presents as an opportunity, though, too, because I think we've all had these like post 2024 election conversations about, oh, where should the Democratic Party go from here? What should the next phase look like? What should the what do we want to see from this party going forward? And I think this really presents an opportunity for the voters to be the one to determine that path forward. It should be the voters who decide, not consultants or you know, people looking for the Joe Rogan of the left or whatever it might be. It should be the voters who decide the next path forward for the state. And we all know that everything in American politics always starts in Wisconsin. So as we have these conversations about what's next for the party, I think it's a great another example that we're seeing over and over and over again, that it is time to embrace this generational shift moment that the Democratic Party has resisted for so long, and it's time to embrace change. And we're going to see a whole lot of change for all of these offices in Wisconsin in the next, you know, year and a half.
And if I could make a personal plea, no novelty candidates, because, and I say this, you know, semi-seriously, I thought, you know, what if I get really frustrated one day and I'm just going to put myself out there, or, you know, or somebody else on the radio or somewhere as almost a publicity stunt, essentially. But with a primary like this, where somebody with like 15% could be the nominee, I mean, every spoiler vote is truly a spoiler vote. And this is something to take seriously, this run, and not for novelty purposes. Or did I just destroy the Dan Schaefer for governor, you know, recombobulation party platform?
That would be the party I'd run for. It would start my own party, the Party for Greater Recombobulation.
How would this, you know, there's going to be so much activity in the next year, except governing. There may not be, I've asked legislators about their plans for post-budget. There's things they want to work on, but with a lame duck governor, could we see some bipartisan progress on things, or does everything grind to a halt for the next year and a half?
I'd like to be optimistic and think that this would set up for some, you know, put our egos aside. Nobody's running for re-election in the governor's mansion. Maybe let's get a couple things done here. My more realistic side tells me that I think things might grind to a halt a little bit more. I think we saw a lot of, you know, an overlooked story about the budget is how much dysfunction there was from state Senate Republicans who were all over the place in where they were in supporting the budget, negotiated mostly by Republicans with the governor. So I wonder if they can even get their caucus in line to vote on anything and need to get anything across the finish line. And I guess we'll see in the next 17 months here. But we know that Republicans like to take like a 9-month break every election year. So we've got, you know, a few months before that, and then they're going to get ready to go fundraise and campaign and all that. So we'll see.
And hopefully recombobulate. Dan Schaefer, thank you again. Enjoy your break. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you.
All right. Tomorrow, we'll have Melissa Kay on with us, talk a little Pigeon Quest. Chad Trowbridge from the Chippewa Falls School District. We'll have Melissa Baldoff and Jim Santel as part of our climate project that we're talking about, our climate update. Earl Ingram will be along. Coming up next is Sarah Godlewski as a guest for Matt and Air on Air. My thanks to today's guest and all of you for being here as part of Up North News, the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says the gunman who killed four people at a Manhattan office building last night was trying to target the headquarters of the National Football League, but he took the wrong elevator. Investigators also say 27-year-old Shane Tamura was found with a note in his pocket alluding to the idea that he had CTE and put some blame on the NFL for it. Tamura played high school football and had a mental health history, police say. Four people were killed and one was seriously wounded. Tamura took his own life afterwards. Another mass shooting, meantime, in Reno, Nevada.
Police say a suspect opened fire on a group of people outside the Grand Sierra Resort, killing three and wounding several more. Officers engaging the suspect in a shootout. He was taken to a hospital in critical condition.
ABC's Lana Moise. At least 77 Palestinians killed in the past 24 hours, most while seeking food, according to the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry. Experts warning the territory is on the brink of famine. This is ABC News.